Blog Talk Radio.
All I did was play it. I'm American, so I played it. I used to sing it in school. They made me sing it in school, so it's a flashback. You know, I know about it.
This man was in the 101st Airborne, so when you write your nasty letters in...
Nasty letters? Wow, right. You really
well, people, when you mention the national anthem and talk about playing it in any unorthodox way, you immediately get a guaranteed percentage of hate mail from people
well,
who say, how
that's
dare
not unorthodox. Anyone... That's not unorthodox.
It isn't unorthodox?
No. I thought it was beautiful. But then there you go.
Hello and welcome to Late Nights with the Midnight Bomber with Neutron Bomb and Captain B2. Pour it out, thick like honey, bittersweet like molasses, seeking your proliferous journey to profit to the empathetic masses. Calling on cathartic release, expel your demons, if but for a moment increase, then cease them, quell their influence, let them not commit treason. This week's focus is on prompts by a number of figures relating to violence. And Whilst it is not a prerequisite, we do encourage you to join the Late Night Poets group on allpoetry.com. And welcome to the program. How are you doing, Bobby?
I am fine. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Yeah, very well. I actually got introduced to that introduction song by Jimi Hendrix by a mate of mine, and it was just so visceral and moving to watch it at Woodstock that I thought it would make such a good start to the show.
Oh yeah, that is a that is a landmark piece of music. I mean, I don't know anyone who doesn't know that piece from Woodstock. Hendrix was a brilliant guitarist.
And how are you tonight, Pam?
Oh, I'm doing great. Looking forward to the show, delving into people's poetry, hanging out with you and other cool poets. I really thought that was an interesting choice for, you know, first of all, I just love Jimi Hendrix guitar playing, and the fact that he did the Star Spangled Banner in such a raw way. And like Bobby said, it was a landmark, just, you know, moment in musical history. And so, excellent choice there.
Thanks.
And if you're ready.
We have a caller?
Yes, we do have a caller, and I'm going to go ahead and bring her on. I'd like to say welcome, Kel. Glad you could join us.
Glad to be here.
Hey, Kel.
Again.
Lovely. And Kel, I hate to put you on the spot, but did you want to start the show with your poem? And I'll just put it on the board.
I don't know how long I'm going to be able to stay.
That's all right. That's why I put you up first. So I've put your poem in the forum, so whenever you're ready, you can start.
I call this Escalation. Is violence a message of hate? Does violence solve anything? I don't understand the need to use forcefulness of pointed fingers or fists, guns or knives, to drive home an opinion or idea different than your own. Self-defense rules if you harm me or mine. I'll retaliate. It's the nature of a mankind's beastly instinct, eye for eye. That doesn't make it right. I understand if you get angry, emotional, frustrated with life. I do too. However, wouldn't it be better, moreover, healthily prudent to speak out, use your words to get the message across? After all, if you hit me, I hit back. Before long, it has escalated. Actually, I think it's the same with gangs against gangs in territorial disputes over what? What are gangs? Groups of friends? Like the TV show, The Little Rascals? They even had a clubhouse called No Girls. So much more fun, right? Violence breeds violence. How does it solve anything if a person dies or is injured? Seriously, stop and think. End poem.
Thank you, Kel. That was a great read and a great poem. I have to say I really enjoyed the simple message that you conveyed in this poem. Almost to check oneself before you persist with violence as a means to solving anything. In my experience, and probably the experience of many, it merely escalates. And I think you have captured that in the prompt. The ultimate weakness of violence is that it is a descending spiral begetting the very thing it seeks to destroy. Instead of diminishing evil, it multiplies it. My favorite part was self-defense rules. If you harm me or mine, I'll retaliate. It's the nature of a mankind's beastly instinct, eye for an eye. And this is particularly true. But I think the thing that most people are missing when they go for eye for an eye is that it needs to be a measured response at the very least. And when emotions are running high, that may be lacking, and retaliation is ultimately in mind. Very well done.
Thank you very much, Mitran. And may I say, it's glad to finally talk to you.
Yes, I know. This is the first time I've actually been online. I've had a few health, not minor issues, but just niggling issues. Finally online with you at the same time. So I'm very happy to hear from you. You're welcome anytime. And Captain, what were your thoughts on the poem?
I like the straightforwardness of the message. It's very conversational, very colloquial in its approach. It doesn't mince words. It's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I understand if you get angry, emotional, frustrated with life. I do too. Wouldn't it be better, moreover, healthy, prudent to speak out, use your words to get the message across? If you hit me, I hit back. And before long, it has escalated. And I have always been a firm advocate of that message. And it's interesting to see it in language in someone else's writing, because this is exactly what I was an officer, what I would teach my staff. I said, I don't care how angry someone gets at you on the other side of the counter. I said, you do not engage. You do not return fire. And it's tough when you're dealing with young troops who are, you know, full of piss and vinegar. But you just don't engage. And you've got to have someone also in a leadership role to advocate that. But mm-hmm. in this case, talking about self-governing, and a lot of people don't get that message early on. They don't learn that because it's not an example for them. So I really like the message you put across here. It's a very logical, very reasonable message. Like if you hit me, I'm tempted to hit you back. And I used to tell my personnel, I said, if someone comes in angry and engages you, I said, if you trade words with them, I said, several things have happened. First off, you've escalated, which is what you've talked about. I said, second of all, it come in with the preconceived notion you're a jerk, and you just validated that. So it does. Yeah. It is a great message that you've got here, and I really like the way you delivered it.
Thank you very much, Captain. I appreciate that.
And Pam, what were your thoughts on the poem?
Oh, I really like this. I like the questions. I like how Kel brings us along on her thoughts. The title Escalation was perfect, because oftentimes it is because we don't communicate and we allow our thoughts and we allow our anger to escalate. I have a feeling that there's going to be rights tonight, this one and others, that give us food for thought, because, me personally, I believe in trying to avoid violence, but sometimes it's not avoidable. Sometimes you have to defend yourself. You know, sometimes you have to, a soldier has to go to war to defend his or her country or the way of life that people, the security that people have in their freedom and their way of life. I don't want to stand on any soapboxes too much, but it's going to be, I think, quite an interesting night. And one of the things I really like, Kel, besides your just wonderful, straightforward style, and the questions that you put in here, is that you mentioned the eye for the eye, which comes from a quote from Gandhi, that Gandhi had a quote about that says, if everybody traded an eye for an eye, the whole world would be blind. And in Jesus said, if somebody slaps you on the cheek, offer them the other one.
Right.
Both of those different religions. And this isn't, I'm not getting religious, I just wanted to point out that we have two different religions that have quotes, whose leaders have quotes about having peaceful responses to somebody's violence, or, and So I think that in itself is intriguing, and I really like that you brought that up and mentioned that, Cal. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. That means a lot. It really does.
Thank you, Kel. And next we have a poem by Peter Solway. I'll give this one a read. And Kel, if you, I'm happy for you to hang around for as long as you want, but if you need to jet, I also understand.
Well, I am good for now. I had a little bit of a sugar problem a little bit ago, so I'm just kind of waiting to see if it's going to stay neutral.
Understandable. Oh. All right, well, I'll start with this. That's fine. As I said, we're happy to have you for as long as you can hang around. And if we're in the middle of a poem and you need to go, just leave a note on the board.
Yes. Not a problem, honey.
This poem is by Peter Solway, and it's called Flap a Flag. White with defeat, wicked queen can have her meat. Tyrant, his due respect, love her dress. Oh, to dream with license, lie in with lotus, muse with hybrids of nonsense, goats on slopes of limestone, wandering about holes of nothing, humans with guns, steep boudoir of procreation, tomorrow's downhill run, canyons of continuance, eternity of many steps, Chinese to still profit from loss, end poem. And Pam, what were your thoughts on the poem?
Oh my goodness, I swear, when I read Peter's brevity, I could have probably 102 thoughts and none of them would come out coherently. But as always, just absolutely intriguing. I like, you know, the opening, white with defeat, the idea that waving the white flag of surrender, but also like the idea of white representing fear. And wicked queen can have her meat, tyrant his due respect, love her dress. You know, it just really, that first stanza reminds me that there's always kind of a hierarchy when it comes to throughout history of people who would be considered evil. You know, it also makes me think of the Wicked Queen and Alice in Wonderland. But, you know, there's always a second in command. And sometimes the person who looks like they're in charge really isn't. Steep boudoir of procreation, tomorrow's downhill run. Relationships throughout history, especially when you talk about royals, were of a political nature, even if it was a marriage or, you know, affairs. It was still planned so that the political nature of it would, allow for, you know, a stronger hand when your country went to war. And so I find this just really, like I said, intriguing and thought-provoking, as always, and wonderfully written.
That was a great comment, Pam. And Kel, what were your thoughts?
I just took a drink. Peter Solway, his stuff is so deep and vast. I have a hard time with it. As Sam knows, metaphors kind of throw me off. I'm not real sure what to think. I'll be perfectly honest. I really don't know. It's beyond me.
That's all right, Kel. You are not the first and you will not be the last to say that about a Peter Solway poem. I was just going to say, my comment initially was that this is actually one of his shorter pieces that he submitted to one of our contests, but it's no less enigmatic. So I was with you there, Kel. I managed to drill down into one section that resonated, and it was wondering about holes of nothing, humans with guns, steep boudoir of procreation, tomorrow's downhill run. And what I got from it was the idea that we pass our violent predilections from generation to generation, creating tomorrow's downhill run. And I think it rings true in some respects. There's this principle of developing schemas in childhood from trauma, great or small. And for those that don't know what a schema is, it's said to be a mental codification of experience that includes a particular organized way of perceiving cognitively and responding to a complex situation or set of stimuli. So if a child has been exposed to violence in all its forms, or any of its forms, it's said to leave a lasting imprint as an adult and in the way in which we respond to a given situation. And what were your thoughts, Captain?
You're right. The schema is it's fascinating. It's formed, I think, they say, solidified right around the time they're 9 years old, and from then on. It's basically that's your blueprint for the rest of your life, and Peter's Australian also, isn't he? Peter's
yes.
Always.
I believe so.
They
yes.
must. Well, I have to ask you, do they teach Solway as an elective in school? Because I don't get him. They must teach it in Australia as an elective.
Sure.
I love what you said, enigmatic. Enigmatic is exactly what it just, to me, Peter, it's complex. It's like looking at, I don't know, it's like looking at surreal or abstract art, and some people get it and some don't. I don't. I really don't. It's just one, it is a brief piece for him. This is unusual for him. Usually he's not quite this terse. It's just, to me, it's one non sequitur after another. I just don't get Peter. I've tried. I really have tried. It's just one of those things I will never master. That and Vietnamese. I can't speak Vietnamese either.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, next we've got a poem by Poetic Picasso. Pam, there should be a SoundCloud in the studio.
All right. Let me mosey on over to the studio, and there we go. And here we go.
Words like violence breaks the silence, whirlpool of sound reaches the ground, vows are spoken, then are broken, such worthless lies induce haunting cries, inundation of tears, echoes of fears, mask of deceit, disguise of conceit, the hidden secrets, the bitter regrets, shadows of doubt, voices that shout. Liberation of sin makes me grin, escape the madness, forget the sadness. Love brings curse, nothing is worse, when hearts ache, shards to break. All I ever wanted was never granted, all I ever needed was never heeded. Words are unnecessary, realization is necessary. Words are painful, nothing is gainful. Time creates illusion, thorns of confusion. An hourglass shatters, nothing really matters. Enjoy the silence, far from violence, stop the blame, quit the game. Lost in ripples, ire that cripples, don't be stupid, there's no Cupid. Life is cruel, I'm no fool, just be aware, if you dare, enjoy the silence. Enjoy the silence, far from violence, stop the blame, quit the game, lost in ripples, ire that cripples, don't be stupid, there's no Cupid. Life is cruel, I'm no fool, just be aware, if you dare, enjoy the silence. Enjoy the silence. In the poem.
That was a fantastic SoundCloud from Frank, or Poetic Picasso as you know him on AP. And Captain, I will get you to make the first comment this time around.
I really enjoyed this. The rhyme scheme was very rhythmic. Usually he doesn't, his lines are not that brief. And these are very, very brief, very terse, very punchy. I really like the way he approached the prompt, which was violence in the voice is often only the death rattle of reason in the throat, and how he keeps talking about enjoying the silence. And in a vowels are spoken, then are broken, such worthless lies induce haunting cries. He's got a great message in here. It's delivered with a very artfully. The hidden secrets, the bitter regrets, shadows of doubt, voices that shout. I really like the way he constructed this, and I like his interpretation of the prompt.
Great comment, Captain. And Kel, what were your thoughts?
I agree with Captain. I really, really like this. Although Frank's voice is so soothing, it's hard to put in that he's talking about what he's talking about. Such a deep, dark subject. But, you know, this poem, it has a bite to it that's absolutely amazing. I really like the lost in ripples, ire that cripples. Don't be stupid. There's no Cupid. I mean, life is cruel. You know, it just suits this prompt so very well. It's absolutely amazing. Well done, Frank.
Great comment, Kel. And for those that are unaware of the prompt that Kel's referring to, it's violence in the voice is often only the death rattle of the reason in the throat. And for me, my favorite part was time creates illusions, thorns of confusion, and hourglass shadows, nothing really matters. And I just thought, listening to the SoundCloud, in addition to giving it a read before the show, it really has a lyrical quality to it. And it kind of encourages you to embrace the quietness or the quietude where one can think clearly and separately from themselves and from the hurt, the want of retaliation. And in the context of a relationship that has since been sour, one can assume, due to the broken vows and the worthless lies which ultimately induce haunting cries, that this was a deeply personal right, and it resonated deeply with me. It was very good. And Pam, what were your thoughts?
I really liked it. I like that Captain used the word terse to describe the lines. I thought that was perfect. You know, I like the that he used a little bit of the song "Enjoy the Silence." You know, that I can't remember the name of the group that sang it, but I should, because I just listened. The funny thing is, I just listened to this song today. But he weaves the words in, but then adds his own. And by adding his own, he changes the whole tone and the message. Because, like, the song itself was originally about appreciating silence, appreciating the simple things in life. You know, like one of the lines was, "All I have is I hold here in my arms." And, you know, it's about just, you know, quietly appreciating whatever gifts life has offered you. Well, here, by putting in his own words, it becomes an extremely dark light, I mean, to me, about somebody who almost has become the opposite of, like, the violence no longer makes them angry. It doesn't make them sad. It's almost as if it's killed the humanity in them, to the point where violence gives them almost like a sense of happiness. I thought it was really just an excellent dark light and very well done.
Excellent comment, Pam. And next we have a poem by Daniel Deschino. And Captain, if you could give this one a read, please.
Certainly. Going to cue it up here now. Depeche Mode, huh? Smart Alec. I saw your message. Okay. Separate Worlds by Daniel Deschino. And the prompt is, nonviolence leads to the highest ethics, which is the goal of all evolution. And it's from Thomas Edison. An evening walk on cracked pavement brings an ant just under my feet. I choose to step over it. I could have made a different choice. I watch as it continues. A seemingly erratic path, directional changes to frustrate the greatest Las Vegas odds makers. Eventually, the ant walks into a lawn jungle of grass, ritualistically cut down to appease the eyes of those who dwell nearby. Quiet becomes the air, evening air. Every car that passes by, a symphony of metal and flame. The trees dance ever so gently to a wind too faint to hear. Still life to those who don't stop and look. I'm not sure what street I'm on. I didn't check the sign, but it looks like every other street I've ever walked today. I never noticed that before. Every house, each yard, slightly different, but everyone the same. Familiar sight with every corner turned. Great comfort to my tired mind, great distress to the part of me that wants to know why. I wonder what that ant is doing right now. I wonder if it knows it could have ended. I could have ended its life with no consequences. I wonder if it knows why I didn't. End poem.
Thank you, Captain. That was a great read. Pam, would you like to go first this time with the comment?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to. I really enjoy Daniel's writing. You know, it's always thought-provoking, and there's almost this gentleness and quietness to it. You know, it's interesting how this all starts with just a simple choice of walking, stepping over the ant on it, and then watching it. And it's interesting to me how he watches the ant in this almost erratic path, and then finds himself lost. It's almost like he has become the ant, you know, not physically, but, you know, metaphorically. And all of a sudden, I like that he suddenly notices every house, each yard slightly different, but everyone the same familiar sight. At the end, I wonder what that ant is doing right now. I wonder if it knows I could have ended its life with no consequence. I wonder if it knows why I didn't. And I really like that ending because it gives, you know, the whole thought of, you know, what things have happened in our life that, you know, was that moment that could have changed the direction of our life. I remember my stepsister telling me one time she was going to stop at a convenience store, and she decided not to, and it ended up that the convenience store had gotten robbed, and by gun. And I don't think anybody was hurt, but she just had this really bad feeling that she shouldn't stop. But you know, I think by reflecting on what the aunt, going back to the poem, the aunt, the person that's thinking about the aunt, it's almost as if there was a higher power. What they might think of us, or even if you don't go like a spiritual higher power, if you just go like how many times throughout the centuries has somebody's life been in somebody else's hands and they didn't even know it? I mean, it just, that the whole thing, but especially that ending stanza, really makes you think about life and history. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. I agree with you there. Not that that's strange. It does happen quite frequently. But just that the poem works well when it's taken literally, but also as a metaphor in how you treat all living things. And I think sometimes it can be very easy to stamp on those more vulnerable than yourself. And if you're that way inclined to treat those poorly whom you deem to be insignificant, it kind of chips away at the moral fibres. And I think one thing that I was always told as a kid was to watch how people treat all humans for an idea of their character. And like, for example, the waiter or the tradie that's coming to your house, or, you know, somebody that's not necessarily the closest to you in life. And if they can't treat those people with kindness and respect, well, it's only a matter of time before they start to treat you like shit as well. My favourite part was familiar sights with every corner turned, great comfort to my tired mind, great distress for the part of me that wants to know why. And it actually reminds me of the opening introduction to this show called Weeds that used to be on Foxtel here, but I think it was a HBO series. And all the houses bore cookie-cutter resemblance, as did their lives, at least on the surface, that is. And finally, all I can say is whether the ant realised its brush with death, it's immaterial to your action to preserve life, and that's metaphoric life or literal life of the ant. Very well done. And, Kel, what were your thoughts?
Well, I agree with you and Pam. I want to say something, though. When you said tradie, that just took me right back to Australia. That was awesome. Thank you. one thing I really, really liked about this poem was the images he puts into each verse. You know, an evening walk on cracked pavement with, you know, brings an ant just under my feet. You know, and it just goes on, and each stanza has this bit of images that's just really amazing. And, you know, it's got a message there, too, but he's taking you down the street with him, and that's just really amazing. I love this. It was a very, very well thought out poem, and, you know, and I kind of feel bad for killing all the flies I did today, but they were annoying.
Oh, gosh, you make me laugh, Kel.
Sorry, flies. But yeah, it was a very well done poem.
Thank you, Kel. That was a great comment. And Captain, what were your thoughts?
I think you should go kill some more flies. I killed some mosquitoes, and I don't feel bad about it at all.
Well, I didn't want to say that.
Yeah, I kept scaring my sister.
Oh, I'm concerned at predators. I thought this was a splendid interpretation of the selected prompt. And there's a second part of the prompt that says, until we stop harming all other living beings, we are still savages. And I like the casual mercy of the protagonist in the first stanza. An evening walk on cracked pavement brings an ant just under my feet. I choose to step over it. I could have made a different choice. As I watch, it continues a seemingly erratic path. The piece makes a specific point of the language of the prompt, until we stop harming other living beings. They're still savages. The ant is presumably unaware of its brush with oblivion, carries about its way because the protagonist has chosen to respect that life, however infinitesimal, and not interrupt it. And that kind of mercy we would hope we would show each other. And I like the comparison it makes to an ant, and even the, we think of it as an insignificant life form, but it's not insignificant to the ant. And so if someone thinks of our life as inconsequential or insignificant, we would get treated with the same contempt as some people treat the ant. So I like the comparison.
Thank you, Captain. That was an excellent comment. And next we've got a poem by Versus Goliath. And you're kidding me. Versus put a sound card in at the last second, and I'll just check whether it's in the studio. I might hold off on this one till next episode, Versus, because I want to play your SoundCloud for you. Okay, I'll get someone else up. Captain, did you want to talk about the contest while I sort out
sure.
another poem?
I'll trot out my little straw hat and my cane and do a little dance. We have two contests ongoing right now. Oh, pardon me. Ghost of dinner past. Excuse me. We have two contests ongoing. We have In My Mind, I Am Free, quotes from Stephen Hawking, and some very interesting thoughts from the man. And I especially like this particular theme because this is something that you don't see too much in any of the contests, is an approach to the disability community. Because here is a brilliant mind held hostage by a totally useless body. And it gives us an opportunity to look at the disability community and think about how they live their lives. So I thought this was an interesting approach. Also, we have a Go for the Gold, quotes from the Olympic athletes. And it's interesting because there has been a lot going on, and this is in honor of the Tokyo Summer Olympics, and there's been a lot going on in the Olympics in terms of drama. Simone Biles stepping down, and then at the last minute doing her beam balance beam routine, and the team having to take over, and other athletes. That were not expected to win, coming from behind and coming out on top. So there's a lot of food for thought in the quotes from the athletes, And I didn't keep it contemporary. I went back to some of your traditional ones, like Jim Thorpe and Jesse Owens and Muhammad Ali, who a lot of people forget was an Olympic athlete. So got a lot of different quotes and thoughts in there, and hopefully people will find them provocative.
Thank
and
you.
Should I give a taste of what might be coming up?
Ooh, no, we'll wait till the end of the program. We'll get the next write-up. We've got Vintage Violence by Eric Svensson. And Pam, if you could give this one a read, that would be greatly appreciated.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. This is Vintage Violence, Cultivar by Eric Svensson. It goes like this. Arcane, Cain, and Abel being, blood sacrifice, seepage streams, and strata seams, death distilled to modern-day vintage cultivar, grapes of wrath, vineyards advanced, scarab determined, rows of violence, march, goose step determined, bedraggled, ruby red heart shaped leaves, quiver, leak, lichen, and lice, hatred infiltrates, jaundiced livers, drunk with vintage violence, modern connoisseurs, exposed a naked desire, an unquenchable lust for chaos. Sticks and stones will crush our bones, but insidious, sly truth, twisting words, sway sensibility. Freedom, equality, and liberty, bonbons handed out behind pentagon and octagons, panhandled, reason sniggers, mind entrainment triggers ignite a soul purpose. Rule and divide through violence. How abysmally observed. Are we to be our lesser inferior brothers keepers? Big brothers superpowers have a field day. Money monopoly game best played in third world countries. So-called human rights. The crafty crusade banners. Modern day knights. Templars ransack natural resources. Freedom, equality, and liberty, bonbon, crushed in dust bowls, evil right of kings and queens and presidents proposed, dispose of law and order, deconstruct determination, insert the Cain and Abel matrix into the next treasure chest country, saving grace, hope revealed, not a twisted truth. As a man sows, so he reaps. Immutable, universal karmic law applies to billionaires, barbarians, and bonbon-fed baboons. Fab free will come with a deathly hollow price. Freedom, equality, and liberty plays its arcane joker card. Perpetuate the law of the jungle. We may to our heart's content, but beware. Tenacious titanium universal karmic law stands patiently by the time. So all evil weed may briefly trumpet flourish and poem.
Great read.
Great read, Pam. That was fantastic. It was very densely packed imagery, I think, and very, very densely packed $5 words there as well, so you did very well with that. I had two favorite parts to this poem. Lichen and life, hatred infiltrates jaundiced livers, drunk with vintage violence, modern connoisseurs expose a naked desire, an unquenchable lust for chaos. Sticks and stones still crush our bones, but insidious lie truth, twisting words slay sensibility. I like the allusion to the saying, sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt me. And it was aptly placed in this poem, for the words of one man can formulate the actions of another. And in third world countries, as an example, natural resource pollution, freedom, equality, and liberty, bonbons crushed in dust bowls. What do they give up in order for freedom to be extolled like an ill-gotten virtue? And finally, my second favorite part was, as a man sows, so he reaps, immutable universal karmic law. And it's a scathing statement, but one in which I have respect. We all have a responsibility to denounce violence in all its forms, even if it is difficult to do so at the time. And that includes poverty, which is directly referenced in the prompt that was written to. And whether billionaires, barbarians, and bonbon-fed baboons are subject to that remains to be seen. But I do believe in karma. I just thought it was very well put and furthers the social undercurrent of this poem. Very well done. And, Captain, what were your thoughts?
Well, the prompt was poverty is the worst form of violence. And it was a quote from Mahatma Gandhi. And I thought this was a very dense, very layered, very detail-oriented write, very complex, impressively so. Bringing in, it was I think it was a tour de force of historic conflicts, traditional ancestral animosities, and how they layer on one another, and the freedom, equality, and liberty bonbons handed out behind pentagons and octagons, panhandled reason sniggies. Just the visual imagery and the subtlety. I mean, there are subtle references in here. Modern day Knights Templar, ransack natural resources. That I thought was a great line. The mention of the Pentagon, which is iconic, in that it is our building where all of our modern day defenses are waged. Freedom, equality, and liberty bonbons crushed in dust bowls. It speaks to dispose of law and order, deconstruct determination. It speaks of how the proletariat just waded up under the weight of all of this political and traditional animosity. It reminds me of an African proverb that a friend of mine had hanging in her office that once I saw it, I never forgot it because I thought it was brilliant. It said, "When elephants fight, only the grass suffers." Oh, that was so brilliant.
Thank you, Captain.
And that's what this reminds me of.
Very apt. Very apt. And, Kel, what were your thoughts to finish up the comments for the poem?
Well, I liked the very last stanza. "Saving grace, hope reveals not a twisted truth. As a man sows, so he reaps." It applies to billionaires, barbarians, and bonbon fed by baboons. Bad free will comes with a deathly hollow price. Freedom, equality, and liberty plays its arcane joker cards. You know, it's just, I find Eric's stuff really complex. Just like Peter Salway, it's very complex, and he puts an awful lot of it's really deep, and you know sometimes he's hard to understand. And this is really well done. I've got to admit that it's very, very well done. He talks a lot about the injustices in the world, and that's awesome.
Thanks, Cole. That was a great comment. And next. Sorry, I put myself on mute as I started talking. next we've got a poem by Rob Cohen, and I'm going to get Captain to read this one.
Alrighty. Yeah, I was so glad to see a contribution from Rob, because he's always got some very interesting things to say. Alrighty, surfs up, surfs rise. And that is spelled S-E-R-F-S. House built on the rock does not collapse in the storm, yet those stones will drown you in the flood if you are tied to it. The printmaker lay the cards on the table in black and white as squares on a chessboard, the art of war forewarned. Alexander's father, Philip II, Roman ruler, Julius Caesar, and horseback emperor, small man Napoleon, all played the part, the pawn game. Today, with our apples and Starbucks and a fat stack of zero bucks, we can dangle and fiddle with our own carrots. Cage birds tweet, blue, green parrots repeat. The foxes and Mars, shaded globes are owned by the same Vanguard elite and Coca-Cola. Cocaine, when if it's made legal, along with the other cogs, a pharma machine, and even sworn enemy, PepsiCo. Red, blue, red pill / blue pill equals serfs in the system, launch the lords into orbit with a one-way ticket and rid the planet of their parasitical bullshit, and boom.
Thank you, Captain. That was a great read, and thanks, Rob, for the poem. I thought it was truly remarkable, actually. It was really quite scathing in its ability to shine a light on the struggle for people power and consumerist values. And I thought it interesting that Coca-Cola, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Coca-Cola did, in fact, contain cocaine in the original formula. Addiction took over its cohort, and then that bore the beginning of the war on drugs. And my favorite part of the poem was, today with our apples and Starbucks and a fat stack of zero fucks, we dangle and fiddle with our own carrots, caged birds tweet, blue-red parrots repeat. I think times may have changed, but the principles have remained the same. I think Rob has produced a very thought-provoking piece. And Pam, what were your thoughts?
Well, first of all, it is good to see right from Rob. I like this style. It kind of almost reminds me of that Dirty Pretty style. I like the way he staggers his lines to give it a sense of movement. The title is really cool, too, in that he uses it to serfs rise up, but it, as, you know, Captain pointed out, so S-E-R-F-S, you know, meaning the type of slaves, servants that are almost like, they're not really slaves, but they are, because they can't get out of, you know, where they are. You know, it's that kind of idea of freedom being out of reach. I like that he mentions some foxes and Mars, shaded globes are owned by the same Vanguard elite, like the whole idea that, you know, there's so many resources in the world, and it's owned by, you know, such a small percentage of people, and the greed. And I like that he went with the fox being oftentimes a trickster in many mythologies, and mentions Mars, the god of war. And it's almost like the two ways that the powerful and the rich, take advantage of people, is they trick them, and second of all, most of the time throughout history in war, it wasn't the rich and the powerful being sent out to the battlefields. So I just think it's a wonderful, thought-provoking write, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. Kel, what were your thoughts?
Oh, golly. Rob, he is something else. I like the first stanza, starting there. The house built on the rock does not collapse in the storm, yet those stones will drown you in the flood if you are tied to it. And then he goes on to, Alexander and Julius Caesar, Napoleon, they all played the part of the pawn game today with their apples and Starbucks and fat stack and zero fucks. It's very staccato, but it's got an edge to it that's absolutely awesome. Yeah, and, it's just, did you read this last bit? All characters and events in this poem, even those based on real people, are entirely fictional. Machiavellian principles are impersonated poorly. The following poem contains coarse language, and due to its content, it should not be read by anyone.
I missed that, actually.
You're so sarcastic and satirical. It's just... Hello, Rob. That was a very good poem. Very good.
Great comment, Kel. And Captain, you read it. What were your thoughts?
I thought this was a deliciously irreverent, scathing social commentary on corporate commercialism, which actually, if you look at it, if you can kind of squint and stand it on its head, it's a subtle form of violence on the public. They are foisting and forcing their values, their concept of the ideal situation, the ideal product, what they think we should have, forcing it basically down our throats, either subtly or unsubtly. And if you've ever studied marketing, you find that sometimes their little tricks are quite insidious. There are apples and Starbucks and a fat stack of zero bucks. And it is true. I mean, it's we have become such a pervasively consumerist society. And I know I've said this before, I'll use a different example, that if this society, if this civilization crumbles and gets unearthed in several thousand years, they're going to think that Starbucks was a god because there are temples everywhere.
So true. Oh, gosh. And next we've got a poem by Richard Weissman. And Pam, there should be a recording in the studio.
Oh,
Another
wow.
Monstrous Baby by Richard Weissman. He had no people. Came up from Gullah Country for a Reynolds job. The bloated straw foreman bragged. That red-colored haul's a hogshead like Samson. And we needed money. You wouldn't have gotten Maxine without him. Your Malcolm had more class in his mindless daydreams than that animal can summon with his most Christian prayers. I blank gazed past Mom to thin 15-year-old red pine door, remembering its battered gold-painted predecessor and his moonshine breath winding my face, screaming, "You uppity ass back bitch!" As he tore at the roots of my relaxed waves, then threw me through crashing window, hard floored, bleeding head to ankles, glass shards clawing me deeper while I staggered off balance and his black polished hobnail boots caving my gut over, over again. Mom rushed out the bedroom, barreling her Springfield against back of Otis's red-haired skull, her icy shiver monotoning, Really don't want to blow your head off, but Christ for my witness I will. That was the last anyone saw of him in Old Salem. Now Maxine would birth another monstrous baby. The Lord again visiting the iniquity of the mothers on their daughters. Nevertheless, Mom was right. Let the child be. End poem.
Thank you, Richard, for the SoundCloud. I really thought the production value was something else. There is a brutality to this scenario without glorification. And it intimated the act of sexual assault that had taken place. It hit me in the guts, much like these black polished hobnail boots paving my gut over and over again. Richard, once you said to me that to be a good writer, you need to feel what you're writing. And my friend, this would have been almost soul-destroying to write. Very impactful, shining a light on violence against women and its potential lasting impact. A painful read, but that does not detract from Richard's skill as a writer. Amazing. And Pam, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, this, you know, Richard always does wonderful performance reads, really intense. It does catch you in the gut. I like how this is brutal, and yet it shows the protectiveness of a mother, you know, the willingness of a mother to bring a child in the world and love a child who was born of violence and prejudice and hate. And, you know, it's all just, I mean, for a fairly short piece, there's a lot in here that reminds us of the ugliness of the human nature, but at the same time of the protectiveness and the love and the determination of human nature. And just a powerful emotive write and very well done.
Excellent comment, Pam. And so what were your thoughts?
Wow. This is very dramatic and golly, brutal. I'm having a hard time. I agree with what everyone has said. It's the violence in it is portrayed so very, very well, you know, and it's got a lot of truth to it, and that's what makes it an amazing poem. Yes, very well done.
Thanks, Phil. That was a great comment. And Captain, would you like to round out the comments for the poem?
Sure. This is a very raw, real, extremely visceral and powerful write, tough to read as it speaks of the violence and brutality against women and children. Mom rushed out the bedroom barreling her Springfield against the back of his red-haired skull. Really don't want to blow your head up, but Christ for my witness, I will. I haven't pretty much laid it up. It illustrates with a painful clarity, the wanton aggression against a group of people who are considered less human or less worthy of respect simply because of their difference to other people. And it's not color notwithstanding, this goes to other groups of people in the past also. Native American, LGBT, alphabet, I can't remember the rest of it anymore. They keep adding characters. But it speaks to one group of people being aggressive and being violent and being just brutal to another group of people simply because they do not value them as much, and they feel that they don't deserve respect or protection. And it's sad, but unfortunately that continues around the world to this day.
Great comment, Captain. And next we've got a poem by Soliloquy called The Heartbreak of Violent Fathers. And Kel, if you could give this a read, please.
Okay. Oops, my charger won't reach. The Heartbreak of Violent Fathers by Soliloquy. I can think it, I can't say it. Homer was a violent man. He was dedicated to his job 5 days a week. Yet when he left work, he would spend hours in ill repute, spilling his seed in less than proper women, and afterward come home in a raging state of anger. I was not worth his effort, so I became the gist of his fist, left lowly without confidence. End poem.
Great read, Kel, and thank you, Soliloquy, for the poem. And it was written to the prompt, "Degeneracy follows every autocratic system of violence, for violence inevitably attracts moral inferiors. Time has proven that illustrious tyrants are succeeded by scoundrels." And, Captain, would you like to start out the comments?
Drawn to the author's note, it says, "True story. Thank God I turned out a far better man than he ever was." And when I read something like this, and then I read that it was autobiographical and taken from personal experience, it is painful to think of someone, a child growing up in this kind of an environment. It's so destructive, brutal, and this is such a powerful brevity that I'm at a loss for words reading this at raw and this chapter.
Great comment, Captain. And, Kel, what were your thoughts?
I'm with Captain, seriously. When you find out something that an author wrote is a truth, and it's violence and brutality, you know, it's just, it really hits hard, and, you know, it's just, wow. "So I became the gist of his fist, left lowly without confidence." It's bittersweet and sad and absolutely horrendous. It's a hard one.
It is indeed. I think we've got to the hard part of the show where the more cathartic rites are coming out. It was a deeply personal rite, and I think Soliloquy's writing displays a sense of compassion and nuance, and I don't think it's because of what happened to him. I think it's in spite of his upbringing that he has that sense of compassion and nuance in his writing, and it encapsulated the prompt so well. And I suppose my personal note to Soliloquy is, "May you grow always in spite of the way Homer disregarded your well-being." It was a very deeply personal, great share. And Pam, what were your thoughts?
I think she stepped away for a moment.
Yes, she did.
Okay, we got dead air. What are we
going to
do now?
I don't know. Go on to the next one?
Did we lose Neutron?
I don't know.
Oh, shit, I had myself on mute. I put myself back on mute. I'm talking away.
Had me fooled.
Say, I've got the next poem. I've got the next poem.
That's the best.
How funny.
I tell you, Neutron, if this game has rules, you need to tell me what they are.
Yeah, it's I guess when Neutron's put herself on mute and when the mute button has made her bitch. That's the game.
bit by the mute monster.
That's it. And multiple times this episode, it's hilarious. Like, I've been so good for so long, and it's just all happening today. So, now this poem's by T. Michelle, and it's called Abjection.
I like his work. Very good. I'm saying he. I probably should say their work, because I'm not quite sure. I think this poet is transgendered, but boy, oh boy, the poetry that comes out of this writer is just phenomenal. Abjection. They rule armed to the teeth, not with weapons, bombs, or night rifles, but cargo planes of poached fortuities traversing above, circling overhead. As last bits of unfed mouths gape to lap up dirty crumbs or inject syringes against tied tubes. This nuclear warhead scourges, a disease that bites off bankrupt bellies, leaves you bummed, ribs collapsing onto diaphragms, scavengers of pain, doubled over from cramps. The poor are to live on policies, meager aids like wisps and flies, they decay, left to nibble on rotted flesh or petition, solicit, protest. Beggars cannot pick, it said. And the poem. And the prompt was, poverty is the worst form of violence.
Kel,
wow.
Would you like to start off the comments this time?
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is really hard-hitting and deep. They ruled armed to the teeth, not with weapons, bombs, or night rifles, but cargo planes. Yeah, that's one of the things that always got me with our current wars is the planes just dropping bombs. You know, you don't know what you're hitting. You don't care. You're just dropping a bomb on people. And it's just horrible. It's absolutely horrifying. And the government spends billions of dollars on these warheads. And it kills me. Money that could be spent on helping the people that need it the most. You know, the nuclear warheads scourges a disease that bites off bankrupt bellies, leaves you bummed, ribs collapsing on the diaphragms. It's just really hard-hitting and a very deep poem. Very well done. Wow. It's amazing.
Great comment, Kel. And Captain, what were your thoughts?
I agree with Kel. It's a very difficult read. It talks about again. It's the system laying waste to the masses. This nuclear warhead scourges a disease that bites off bankrupt bellies, leaves you bummed. It's collapsing in the diaphragm. The visual imagery is painfully well described, and it's a very evocative write. It's designed, I think, to make us uncomfortable and cringe, and it works very well in its addressing of poverty in the way it does.
Thank you, Captain. That was a really good comment. And Pam, did you get a chance to read that poem?
I did, yes. And as always, T. Michelle's poetry is beautiful. It's impressive. I think this was 7 months ago from Paige Pink and well-deserved. I like that she went with the quote, poverty is the worst form of violence. And there's so much, you know, mentioned here about how people are starving and how they are treated, you know, not like people. And, you know, the whole idea of, I don't know, it's just the inhumanity of how so many people that need help are treated. It's just a very powerful and intense and emotive write, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. You know what, it actually reminds me of the issues with at the moment that with the COVID vaccines getting to countries where the variants are popping up in. And I think if the first world nations do nothing or they have a less than commensurate response to delivering free or low-cost vaccines to the countries hardest hit, not only will they see a third, fourth and fifth wave, loss of life and intense suffering, but it will affect the first world as it is currently for much longer. And I just think my favourite part was, well, I can hardly call it a favourite part, but the part that resonated the most was the poor us live on policy, meagre aids like wisps and flies they decay, left to nibble on rotten flesh or petition solicit protests beggars cannot pick, it said. And look, I think at the moment that is just so spot on, and we are just failing miserably as a globe. There's been too much loss of life. Yeah, I'm getting fired up. it really pisses me off, you know. So next we've got a poem by Abdullah Ibnali, and I will put that in the form and give it a read. So it's called Can We Love Beyond Partisan Fears? The eagle's sharp claws protect its nest but then draws violence to court. Can past infamies build us present liberties and democracies? Or blindly support blue knights most whites have rapport despite ill report? Can we become one el pluribus and on done with liberties won and poem? And Captain, would you like to go first?
Sure. What a powerful brevity this is. Can we become one with liberties won? E pluribus unum undone with liberties won. Blindly support blue knights. Most whites have rapport despite ill report. That to me, that sounds like a very thinly disguised indictment of police brutality. And the eagle's sharp claws protects its nest, but then draws violence for cause. That first stanza, though, that is a corker. That is really terrific. Very well done piece. Hello up there.
I'm trying to unmute again.
Oh, yes, I was.
Get a bigger stick for that mute monster.
Oh, man, it just got me in a trip tonight. So, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, wow. Um,
Or just blindly support Blue Knights. Yeah, it's all just, wow. Each stanza could lead into something else. It's just absolutely fantastic. And very metaphorical. So it takes me a minute to get through it. And there's not that much there to get through. So. Yeah, continue.
And Sam, what did you
see? Oh, wow. Well, first of all, I have to say, I found the perfect graphic on Glitter Graphics, but for some reason it didn't work. But it was the word mute flashing in different colors. And I thought, oh, my goodness, every time somebody's talking on mute, we could just post that graphic in Late Night Poets. So it'd be like, mute, mute. But
would it make it into a drinking game, maybe?
Right? Yeah, I don't know. But the poem, oh, my gosh, a powerful brevity. The metaphor, like, you know, to me, the eagle represents the United States. But I wouldn't say just that it narrowed in on the United States, but any superpower. You know, they use their weapons, their power. And you know, like, when I say superpower, I mean, obviously, like, you know, there's certain countries that just have more, you know, they're better off, you know. And those are the ones that should be taking care of the others that aren't. But, you know, they use their weapons to protect their nest, but then draws violence for cause. And you know, and that can happen all over the world, and even in individual groups, you know, where the cause becomes, I mean, even like a weird, like, there was somehow came up that because of one of the prompts from on Cal, or not Cal, sorry, Gray and Casey's show was about a woman who had killed somebody during the French Revolution. And, you talk about something like the French Revolution, where it escalated into violence for a cause. And I like the line, blindly support, despite ill report, can we become one with liberty? You know, the whole thing, the whole idea is, are we able, as a world, to come to an agreement that, you know, where we will be as one? Or, you know, do we, unfortunately, are there those of us who will have to give up what is our ideas of liberties, you know, give up our self-identity? You know, it's a really just, like I said, thought-provoking, powerful brevity, very well done.
Thanks, Pam. That was a great comment. I think... I actually had a list, a read of the contest that Abtala Adnali was referring to in his author notes. At first, I found it quite cryptic, but after reading the contest prompt, I can confirm that it was indeed about the police force in this instance and holding a flame equally to both police and civilians. And it's my belief that people in power should be held to a higher esteem, particularly relevant at the moment in Australia at least, and I'm sure over in America as well, given the importance they play in our community. And I just think the power to put an organisation like the police force into ill repute is not a good thing at the moment. And my favourite part was the opening stanza, the eagle sharp claws protects its nest but then draws violence for cause. Very well done. And next we have a poem by Jazz Karan, and I believe there is a recording in the studio, Pam.
There is, and let me just move you over and find it. Here we go.
Walking on the stars. October morning, Vienna versus effort only. A jazz girl taking a walk in a vision. Acid punk at a piece. starving, deforming contested, and they burn her in peril. Poor thing with feather, it's by being Aramander, telling me two different stories. A shadow crossing the burning sun, haunting the silver part. Here I blossom, going among bitter woods, that is of healing. Here in the wilderness, strong, wailing away her wounds, under her beating chest, she is the wounds of the singer, with tears, drinking out of the tears of God. But sitting next to me, she seemed hungry and moving tall. Though she spoke from the heart, her mouth poured out an angry language. But to the winds, held to the stars, the bird born in white of black. But made of universe taking many years, just for a second sight. It is God, her fasting woods, devoted to both moon and night, but unearthly, utterly silent. I pressed her hands, and felt fresh mountain snow touching finger wings. Sun days in class, as we got the Oscar meeting, as I see the memories, but you might. Thank you.
All right. I might just give that one a read because I'm not sure that there was a bit of distortion in the recording, so I'll give this one a read again. October morning, the land of wordsmiths afloat on a lake. A joyful girl taking a walk in oblivion, acid flung at her face, carving deforming contours, stripped identity, burned her inside out. Hope is the thing with feather. It flies with an air of a wanderer, carrying a muse to distant shore, her shadow blocking the burning sun from tearing the soul apart. She was a blossom, growing among bitter woods, petals of healing. Here in the wilderness, storms wearing away her bones under her bleeding flesh, she healed the wounds of the strangers with tears glinting off the turrets of clouds. While sitting next to me, she seemed hung up in moody thoughts, though she spoke from the heart. Her mouth poured out an encrypted language. Multiple pens helped to colour scars. The word wasn't in white nor black, but made of rainbows, taking many years. Just for a second flash, they devoured her faster than books. Devoted to both moon and night, but undoubtedly a deadly silence. I pressed her hand and felt fresh mountain snow gushing through my veins, sun dipped in far sacred hot stars cover me. As I steal your memories, but losing mine, and poem. And, Pam, what were your thoughts?
I really always appreciated and enjoyed Janice Graham's poetry, his use of emotive imagery. And another one that's going to be is on the pending picks list. That is very awesome. I like how this focuses on an individual girl. An individual woman who gives the outward appearance of, at least that's what I get from this, she gives the outward appearance of being joyful, but you know, on the inside she's falling apart, you know, because and you know, I feel like the person he writes about sees either sees the bruises or sees that something in her that says that you know, that she is not as happy as she appears to be. I really like, and it's horribly dark, but in, you know, it's powerfully written. The word wasn't in white nor black, but made of rainbows, taking many years just for a second flash. They devoured her faster than the wolves, devoted to both moon and night, but undoubtedly a deadly silence. And at that point, I think it speaks volumes. Not of just violence against one woman, but violence against, you know, all women who suffer, you know, violence at the hands of somebody who's supposed to be taking care of them, somebody who's supposed to be loving them. I think it's a powerful, emotive write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. And Kel, what were your thoughts?
I'm still kind of processing. I guess it. Oh, whoops. Joyful girl taking a walk in oblivion, acid flung at her face, carving deforming contours, stripped identity burned her inside out. That's hard. That's just an awful thought. She was a blossom, growing among bitter woods, petals appealing. Let's see, where is this? Okay. The word wasn't in white nor black, but made of rainbows, taking many years just for a second splash. They devoured her faster than wolves. I'm kind of wondering, because I'm kind of stuck on this a little bit, but made of rainbows, that kind of makes me think of maybe she was like LGBTQ, whatever that is anymore, and someone took offense and horribly disfigured her. You know, it's just, I pressed her hands and felt fresh mountain. It's just, wow. It's a very deep piece, and like I said, I'm having a hard time processing it. Just, wow. It's. I don't know. Continue, please.
Thank you. Captain, would you like to go next?
These reads are really intense. This one, even more so, speaking of a young girl who was an innocent and victimized by acid being thrown in her face, and this is just, it's a painful read. And then as you read, she seemed hung up on moony thoughts, though she spoke from the heart, her mouth poured out an encrypted language. Just multiple pens helped to color scars, but the word wasn't in white or black. It's aching. It makes you ache just to read something like this, because we're reading about the cruelty of and inhumanity of one person to another person or group of people. And to me, that's always a tough thing to wade through. But this is very well written.
Agreed, Captain. I think the only thing I can really add to that is what I like about the poem is that Death Grant has focused on the protagonist healing from such a horrible attack. And I think he has captured her beauty, her pain, her healing from the cowardice of one who could commit such an assault. And then you end with, sun dips in glass, apricot clouds cover me as I steal your memories but leaving mine. Just the fact that he's trying to replace her memories of that moment with something more positive, I think it was amazingly beautiful. Way to end it for something that was so terribly horrific at the outset of the poem. And with that, we'll move on to the next poem. And that will be OMG, it's CP. And Captain, if you could give this one a read, that would be great.
What are we doing on getting through all our entries?
We've got a few left. I'm hoping we can get at least three, maybe four read, and then we'll call it a day. And we're going to have enough for half a carryover show, which will probably come in handy in the next week or two.
Okay. We're looking at It's Only a Little Fun by OMG, it's CP. We can erase it. We can take it back. All we need is an eraser, right? It's that easy, right? because it's only burning rubber. It's only a simple act, destroying dynasties for the help of it. It's only a little fun. Standing on the front line for a little longer after writing home for the last time just this morning. Who knows when you'll be back or if you'll be back. Say your goodbyes just in case and be ready to fall asleep for good. We can sleep soundly without a care in the world because we don't have to do any of the hard work. We never see the bombs or the blown off head. We'll never hear the cries. We'll never feel any bullets flying into our skulls. But hey, it's only a little fun, right? Whispering the wrong lover's name at night, creating an awkward mess, we're all out of our damned minds. Silver bullets coming from our mouths, slipping off our tongues. No trigger needs to be cocked and pulled unless we get pissed off enough. Hearts all bleed the same, even if the outside is a different color. But no matter that, because it's only a breath being lost. It's only a gun being fired. We're just enjoying ourselves. It's only a little fun. End poem.
Thank you, Captain, for a great read. I thought this was a really thought-provoking.
I was going to say that. People sleep peacefully in their beds at night only because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf.
Thank you, Captain. I thought it was a really thought-provoking right on the right to bear arms, gun violence, war, and a great answer to the prompt that Captain just mentioned. Silver bullets coming from our mouths, slipping off our tongues, no trigger needs to be cocked and pulled unless we get pissed off enough. Hearts all bleed the same, even if the outside is a different color. But no matter that, this was a nuanced right with a great flow to it, and moreover, the message is on point, especially given current times. And, Kel, what were your thoughts?
This is another really deep piece, and it transitions into different segments. You know, starts out speaking like a soldier standing on the front line for a little longer after riding home for the last time just this morning. Who knows when you'll be back? You know, it's just, that's really heart-wrenching right there, because they don't know. You know, they don't know, and we don't know. We don't have a clue what they see, what they have to go through. You know, we'll never see the bombs or the blown off head. We'll never hear the cries. We'll never feel any bullets flying into our skulls. But hey, it's only a little fun, right? You know, I like the sarcasm that he puts into it. You know, it's just a little fun, you know, and just, it's mind-blowing. It really is. And he moves on into, you know, the racism portion, you know, and it's just, wow. It's very deep and profound. Well done.
Great comment, Kel. And, Captain, what were your thoughts?
Oh, there's acid dripping off of this sarcasm. This is a really scathing right. An indictment of weaponry, firearms, the inhumanity of war, even more so now because it is warfare from a distance. We're not looking into the eye of our adversary. We never see the bombs or the blown off head. We never hear the cries. We never feel any bullets flying into our skull. And then you get this comment, this very jaded comment. It's only a little fun, right? And then there's the subtlety of the stanza, whispering the wrong lover's name at night, creating an awkward mess. We're all out of our damn minds. The subtlety of that violence is so... It's so intimate and so understated, the way it slipped in here between bullets is just, I thought, a very skilled touch. All hearts bleed the same, even if the outside is a different color, but no matter that, because it's only a breath being lost. And basically, it speaks of how lost lives are discounted, basically just dismissed. And this is a really potent, powerful write.
Great comment, Captain. And Pam, would you like to round up the comments for this poem and then read the next poem by Seaglass?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, with CP's poem, biting and sardonic, it touches on the fact that there are those who go off to war, but then I think it also touches on the fact that there's violence that stays right at home, the guns that kill individuals, and the violence, the everyday violence that so many people unfortunately see. An excellent write all the way through and very well done. All right. And you did ask me to read Seaglass's poem, correct?
Yes, please.
Okay. This is The Witness by Seaglass, and it goes like this. From ancient times, poets have written about war. Plato wrote, "It is the poet's obligation to bear witness, and in that spirit, I bear witness to 111 wars started since 2003, 39 of them ongoing. I bear witness that no weapon of mass destruction were found by any Western army in Iraq. I bear witness to Russian barrel bombs murdering Gardner Abu Ward and the destruction of the last garden in Aleppo. I bear witness to the enduring religious and race discrimination in the banquet of poverty, a feast for despots. I bear witness to a catastrophe of famine driven by conflict, fueled by climate shocks. 7 million people dead by hunger in 2020. 690 million starving across the world today. I bear witness to the refugees arriving on Kentish shores yesterday morning, fleeing the violence of poverty, believing they'd be better drowned if they can't reach the safety and food of my country. I bear witness to the willful destruction of Earth's ecosystem by warlords, chemical companies, human greed, and cruelty. I bear witness to the extinction of 1,000 flora and fauna species a year and 35,000 species threatened with extinction today. I bear witness to the beginning of Earth's sixth mass extinction. Finally, I bear witness to history and Satyagraha, and gunless, bombless, gasless Mahatma Gandhi wearing only sandals and dhoti, making war on a cruel empire and winning. Science says time to choose, but this time runs as liquid mud in landslide." End poem.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great read. And Captain, would you like to start off the comments?
Sure. This is an interesting piece. It is almost a testimonial, an affidavit of delineating all the violence and the social ills around the globe, speaking of Russian bombs, weapons of mass destruction that weren't there, race and religious discrimination, famine, refugees, destruction of the ecosystem. I'm going to start shopping for another planet. this is seriously the way it is laid out in this piece is very impressive, because it's basically a litany of everything that we're doing to the planet and to each other. And I think it's extremely powerful, right?
Thank you, Captain. That was a great comment. And Kel, what were your thoughts?
Well, I was just thinking it's kind of a violence begets violence type thing, you know, and how it, you know, it starts with war, and it just goes on and on and on. And, you know, everything, just the destruction is so profound. It's an amazing write. It really is. I love the way this was done. I bear witness to the refugees arriving on Kent's shores yesterday morning. I bear witness to the willful destruction of Earth's ecosystem. It's just, wow. I'm astounded. It's just so well written out and thought out, and there's a lot of information. And, you know, the beginning, it starts with violence. And, you know, it doesn't end. It just, everything is just leads on from that. You know, everything just gets worse and worse and worse. It's just beautiful. Well done. I can't say it's beautiful, but it is very well done.
Thank you, Kel. That was a great comment. And finally, Pam, what were your thoughts for the poem?
That is just a beautiful and powerful write. I like that she opens up reminding us that from ancient times poets have written about war, and then offers up that quote by Plato, it is the poet's obligation to bear witness, and in that spirit. And then she goes on to say all the things that she bears witness to, all the violence and atrocities that have happened. And, you know, I really feel that's one of the most beautiful and powerful things about poetry, is that we can use our voice. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And next, I think we're just going to have time for one more and then we'll wrap up. So this poem was by Pam Eight, and it's called I Want to Speak. I want to speak, yet I am too ashamed to be seen, even though I know now that I didn't deserve it. A child should be able to grow, be innocent and play. Adult selfish lustful desires shouldn't ever get in their way. Groping and fondling disguised as love, everyone will continue to love you just as long as you shut the hell up. I ran away as a tween when I couldn't take any more. It didn't stop there by any means. I was out there all alone. My family carved the word victim into my flesh. That's what they must have done, I thought, when the rapes never got any less. Rapes disguised as love, what they like to call makeup sex. How can I get excited through blood-crusted eyes? Why doesn't he stop when he hears my cries? Finished and done, a heap on the floor. Just when you think you can't take any more, someone let in, someone you trust is just looking out for themselves for a new piece of butt. Trying hard to brace what's left of your soul. You are good at journeying to other spaces and times, to a place that's warm, way up in the skies, hanging out until the deed is done with beloved spirit guides. I want to speak. I want to scream. A throwaway invisible person from birth. Shit out of luck when I entered this earth and was promptly delivered into the claws of the bloodthirsty mean. End poem. And I'll read the author note. This is has no way to do with my current husband, third husband, and we are celebrating 26 years this month. He's a good one. Don't give up hope. They are out there. Watch out, motherfuckers. I'm not the same. I am Namdang Somo. And Captain, would you like to start off the comments for this poem?
These kind of writes are always tough for me to read, because I can only imagine what's going on in childhood And my mother was a matriarchal whack job, and I got tormented a lot. But fortunately, I did not suffer the kind of abuse that I read in some of these pieces that just make my heart ache. The innocence of a child is just it's destroyed in so many different brutal ways, and this is a very courageous right. I mean, to write of such is a very deeply personal right, and to write of something so painful with such a candor, to me it takes a lot of courage on the author's part. So I say it's a great write, and I guarantee I'm never going to read it again because it hurts too much.
Great comment, Captain. And Pam, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. It takes a lot of courage to write something like this, but I think it's so important because I think a write like this, somebody will read it, come across it, and realize that what situation they've been through, someone else has been through it too. Poetry, and especially honest poetry like this, gives us a chance to not only help our own healing process, but perhaps help someone else's healing process. And, there's such a raw ugliness in this poem, but the ugliness is in the poem itself because the style is beautifully written, but rather that it reminds us that there are those out there who will use and abuse people, the innocent children who should be loved and who should be protected. And I just have to say congratulations to her and Richard. I'm going to be celebrating 26 years together. That's absolutely wonderful and powerful, right? Very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And I think Richard actually wrote a comment just to say, you endured it all and came out the other side, still standing, now growing, and your voice arcs stronger and louder. Your inner warrior is truly blooming, inspiring to see and to walk this path with you side by side. So just very happy for the both of them. And, Kel, what were your thoughts?
I'm with Captain B. This was a very hard read. Just to imagine children that have had to suffer this. You know, it's heartbreaking. It truly is. And so we had some forms of abuse growing up, like, you know, getting our butts spanked when we didn't deserve it or whatever, but nothing even close to this. And it's just heartbreaking. But, you know, thankfully, she's got a story of hope as well, and that's something, like Pam was saying, to inspire other people that have been through similar situations to speak out and say, hey, it's got to stop. You know, it's just very, very well done. Wow. That makes me want to cry.
Agreed there, Kel. I think the part that resonated with me most was the fact that she was out there all alone, and my family carved the word victim into my flesh. That's what they must have done, I thought, when the rapes never got any less. Just that idea that she escaped potentially into the hands of a worse situation, and never the devil, you know, what's the saying, Captain? Better the devil, you know. I think that's it. But in this case,
yeah,
it was one devil to
an even worse
devil.
The devil you know than the devil you don't know.
That's it. But obviously, given the situation she was in, she had no choice but to run. But unfortunately, life wasn't very kind. But as you said, Kel,
there is that message of hope, and I can wholeheartedly say that Pam A is a strong woman, and it shows in her rights, and a very courageous right this one was. And with that, we've reached the end of the program. I'd like to thank you, Kel, for hanging out and commenting and reading the poems.
Yeah.
Pam on the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Captain,
thank
my
you,
host. And yeah, just it was a great show. We do have some carryovers that I will endeavour to get to along with some others that have been accumulating in the next week or so. We may even have a flash... pre-write to make it up to full episode. Yeah, and then that'll
we'll
give
have
us
some,
time to
we'll
fill
have
up
some
the other content. Yeah, that's
and,
what,
and
that's
we'll
what
tell Mika that we'll tell Mika that we missed her.
Yes, we did indeed. And so that's it, guys. We're all done.
All right. Wonderful.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Bedtime.
Thank
you, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Night, ladies.